to the subtitles and then just never went back because Greg Ayers is Satan.
Okay. Well, didn't have to name drop the man. He has a family. A rabid. Yeah,
I feel sorry for his family.
A rabid 3.5 fans are going to go fuck him up now that you said it, dude. They're going to dox him. Shit, we're not responsible.
Good.
Don't do that.
Yeah, fuck him up.
No, stop.
I'm advising you to go and fuck a stranger up because I told you to.
Sean, stop. Got to be on the same side here. It's no, oh, it's wait, not good, but bad.
No, don't do that. Wink, wink.
Fuck you.
Tootsie Pop.
Indeed. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 118 of the Thought Patrol podcast. We are back, chilling, grooving, and jiving, and, you know, totally digging each other out, me and Sean, right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Full homo intended, too. Oh, yeah. So, well, yeah, it just totally might be a saucy episode. One of the episodes.
Raven Simone after she went gay.
That. Even after.
Yeah.
The show. Just watch the news for Florida. You may find something special. Never know. If I do ever go out, I want my obituary just to be the fucking Florida news article of me exploding into flames or some shit, and that will just be plastered everywhere. That will be yeah, exactly.
And so, your tombstone will be like a man's face eating out a butthole.
Nah, it'd just be like an empty box of honey buns or some shit. That will be the actual stone itself, and then they'll place flowers in a one of those fucking like sippy cups, right? They place flowers in the sippy cups and then they pray by the empty honey bun container. So
donuts in a sippy cup?
No, honey buns. You
what
fucking
the fuck is the difference?
Are we really having this discussion right now?
I hate donuts and bear claws and honey buns and fucking all those things. They're all the same thing to me. I'm a bad friend.
Well, that was episode 118 of the Thought Patrol podcast. That was nice. I'm glad we had a good discussion this week. But we might be dissolving the show after this. I've learned something new about my co-host that I was not previously aware of.
My friend, how hath he wounded me?
It's a one-man show now. Go on. Start doing backflips or some shit. Make them happy. You've wounded me, man. I've been knocked back. All right. I'm not crying. You're crying, bro.
I hate sweets.
Okay.
I mean, once in a blue moon, I'll have like a cookie. And then afterwards, I always think like, wow, that wasn't worth it.
I don't even want to hear any more blasphemy. Let's just move forward.
I like brownies. I like the edge pieces.
All right. I am also sick as fuck. I'm going to really try my ass to not cough into the mic and mute myself in time. If you hear me cough, I have failed you. It's already happened twice. Feel free to keep a counter. Let us know later how many times I have failed you. But
that's how many shots he has to take.
It's not looking good so far.
During the next stream.
This like coronavirus eating my body alive. That shit doesn't sound too bad to get. You just, like, your lungs fill up with fluid in your sleep and you pass away kind of shit. That might be a good way to go. does suck, though. Kind of, like, on the verge of a epidemic? Epidemic's the lower tier and the pandemic is, like, extinction level shit, right? I don't fucking remember.
Pandemic is below epidemic.
Oh, okay. Whatever. I know there's like, what, 3 million people that are infected with it, but there's only been like 40-something deaths, and they're already working on a serum, so it's not, or a vaccine, so it's not going to be anything insanely crazy, but it's one of the bigger things we've had in the last, like, I mean, Ebola was kind of large, too.
I've always found it fascinating that as human beings, we have to compartmentalize things in order to keep our sanity. So when we hear, like, oh, 5 people died in this accident, we don't even think about it. Or if we hear like 20 people died in bus accident, we don't think about it. Or 300 people in plane accident, then we're like, "Wow, that's a tragedy." You know, it's like tragic when one person dies. In reality, I mean, you think about like, imagine if it was like your sister, your mom, your brother, aunt, cousin, whatever, fucking best friend, etc. Like, I would consider that a fucking tragedy.
But yeah, you have to like,
but
you have
it's to... somebody you don't know. So we're like, oh, it only killed 40. What the fuck ever, right? Drop in the bucket.
Yeah, yeah.
But in reality, that's fucking terrible. But you can't expect, and it's not reasonable to expect everyone to grieve planet-wide over it. It just kind of still catches me as bizarre that we have to keep ourselves so far outside of things, or else we just constantly be a...
Yeah, it'd be a wreck. You have to, like, dehumanize a lot of, like, the bad news and separate it from the fact that there's a living person behind that number, because if not, you'll just be a fucking depressed, chronically depressed mess the rest of your life, because the world is cruel to a degree and life is suffering to a degree. So yeah, but it, definitely, like, we just gotta
kind of
kind of separate us from these things. Also, like, another bad news, fucking you guys probably have heard that Kobe Bryant has passed. Originally they thought that four of his daughters are with him in the crash, but it wasn't. They're only saying it's one now, and he was like taking it with like another player and their parent or some shit, and they had passed, and it killed everyone in the crash. The crash killed everyone. So yeah, wonderful day, like, beautiful news. Sean doesn't like honey buns, and then now Kobe Bryant has passed away. What else can
Kobe
you...
was retired, right?
Did he yes still he play? Was he was retired, if I recall correctly. And I think LeBron James had just recently passed his, like, all-time, like, three-point record or some shit like that. I don't know. I don't watch basketball. I enjoy playing it every now and then, but I do not fucking watch basketball. So let's move forward,
though. The funny thing is, like, when you're older, as you age, like, you'll remember names from basketball, because for a while, like, all these big names, like LeBron James, right? That's a big fucking name you've heard for, like, the last 5, 6, 8 years. I don't fucking know how long. For a little while now. Tossed around constantly from people who love basketball. Fucking 10 years down the road, you're going to be like, yeah, man, LeBron James, right? And somebody's like, dude, he's been retired for, like, fucking 6 years. And you'll be like, oh, well,
I tried to start this conversation. Really. Yeah.
That's what will happen. Like, Kobe, like, I remember when Kobe was the LeBron. Like, it was his name.
I mean,
he was tossed around. And before him, it was that other guy. And before him, it was Jordan. And, like, constantly, like, Kobe was the thing. It's weird to me that he's not only been retired for a while, but, like, he was
like 41, yeah. I think, when he passed.
Yeah. Like, he was a young guy.
Yeah.
That kind of sucks.
He's a meme, bro. When people throw shit for accuracy, they say Kobe, bro. They go like Kobe. Now every time I do that, I'm gonna be sad. What you do is you Kobe for accuracy, but you yeet for power, right? They're empowering words. So when you scream yeet and throw something, it goes farther. But when you say Kobe and you toss something, you get more accuracy in your shot. But now every time I say Kobe, I'm going to be reminded that he's no longer with us. But yeah, move away from the depressing shit. We appreciate everyone for tuning in. We are back again. I was thinking we could talk a little bit about 2020 seems to be the year of the delay so far. We've had a lot of games delayed, from Final Fantasy VII to Cyberpunk. It's kind of old news, but we didn't record last week, so we could talk about that a bit. Episode won't be tremendously long, and... As many times as we said that, we're going to try and stick to it. And then we're going to talk about Sean's lack of like for sweets for the next hour and a half and lose complete track of time. But we'll talk a little bit about that. And yeah, we're just here. We appreciate you guys for tuning in. We're going to start with the intro. Me and Sean have actually had a nice little revelation over the last few days that I'll let him start. And to kind of explain what we've been doing, dude. That wasn't all the homo stuff. Like the other stuff.
Are we doing that now?
Yeah. We'll do it with the intro.
Oh, yeah. I got that's my activity for the last week is, like, I got a late Christmas gift, which was a Nintendo Switch. And I've always intended on getting one eventually for all the JRPGs that have been coming out on it. For Metroid, you know, Mario, the usuals that you get a Nintendo system for. And but it's become a doubly interesting concept for me to long term look out for, because I live in what's is effectively a glorified closet. It's a double wide closet. That's where I've got a cot and a few of my things, and the rest of it's boxes and other people's shit. So I can't put a TV in here. And so I figured it just doesn't make sense to spend $300-$400 on a PlayStation 4 when the 5's right around the corner. So, I mean, that's like next November. So
I wonder,
I've been saving.
I was thinking about that. I wonder how long they will take to port, or maybe it'll just be available at launch, like 14, launcher for 14. How long will it take them to have that available on the PlayStation 5? I wonder. It'll be interesting. I know they're already talking about it being on there, obviously. Used,
PS4 cheap. Like, I'm keeping my eye out for a cheap one. I got a cheap one for my daughter, but she was obviously the priority because not only does she have access to a TV at her friend's house, but it was her PlayStation in the first place. Like, I had never gotten around to getting my own. I bought it for her, and she left it there intentionally because it was all I had to do where I was staying at the time. So, like, the moment I got my hands on a cheap one, I got it, I gave it to her. I spent $150, got a fucking PlayStation 2 controllers and God of War, and fucking, I don't remember the Watch Dogs 2, but who gives a shit about that game? Okay, boomer.
I was trying to talk and realized I'd muted myself from the cough, so I laughed into the mic to respond to the bit, and I didn't hear myself, and I was sad. But continue. I'm sorry.
So I got a Switch as a late Christmas present, which is perfect because I can at least do games in here on that little screen.
You need the TV where you got one and your little postage stamp device.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's marginally smaller than the actual TV I had, which was also Ashley's. It was a little dorm room TV. So, yeah. So I got that. I came with Mario Kart 8. I haven't bought any games for it, but I did put a little bit of money into a free-to-play game that I downloaded. Kyle went crazy. Like, I was looking through all these websites trying to find all these multiplayer games on Switch that you can play online, and none of the websites have effective lists. Like, they've got all these AAA shit and all the well-known shit, but nothing even remotely off the beaten path. And there's a fairly decent sized library on Switch, so there had to be something. And Kyle went digging and found Dauntless. He's like, well, let's try this. Let's download this. It's a Monster Hunter clone. And I'm like, well, it's something. So we downloaded it. And it is far from perfect, but it is still very much fun. And it is something that I have been able to play with people across all platforms, PlayStation, Switch, computer, like it's multi-platform, cross-platform.
Yeah, dude, that's the fucking future, man. Like, us sitting there, all chilling in a Discord chat. It has voice chat, but the Switch users have... It's a challenge to talk through voice chat with Switch users.
Got
to
use a cell phone.
Yeah, all this other shit. I don't even know how that would work for crossplay, but just the idea that we can all sit down, regardless of what we're using... Holy shit, a cough.
Yep, all right. We have Perry on Switch. No, Perry on PS4.
Yeah.
Me on Switch, Sam on Switch, and Kyle on PC.
On the master race, baby. But it's just being able to sit there, us all playing like we used to, completely broken away from the fact that we all had to be on the same thing. Well, we don't, but that before we would have to. And it's just such an awesome feeling. I don't know, something about it. It just feels like, yeah, we're in 2020. Like, this is something that we would, like, we talked about in the last episode. Some of the things we'd love to see. I'm at the point where anything, they can release fucking, I don't know, like Sims 5 and its crossplay, and I'd be willing to pick it up just to support alone the fact that crossplay is being more heavily adopted by these gaming companies. I just want more of that. I don't give a fuck about anything else. Just the idea that I can play with my friends without them having to worry what they're playing on. That's what we need. Break down these walls. Gaben, I don't know who the fuck we can. I guess the Epic team would be, because they've been probably one of the heavier. I mean, 14's been doing it for ages, since the PS4 came out, between the crossplay between PC and PS4. But whoever had the idea is like, oh hey, let's let people play no matter what console they're on. Praise you, Put a monument for them somewhere, because that shit's dope. And I just love every second of what we've played. And again, game's not fantastic. It does some things better than Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter does some things better than it. And I don't even give a fuck. It's just so nice that we can all sit down and play a game together in what seems like ages. And that's cool as shit.
Yeah. For real, this is the first game that I've been able to play with everyone since the fire. Like, I've played Mario Kart 8 on, you know, couch co-op, and that was fantastic. But this was just like a breath of fresh air. It was so nice to be able to... Because, I mean, you got to think, like, we're friends with a guy in New Jersey, a guy in South Carolina. You're in South Florida. I'm in Central Florida. I get to see you maybe once per year if I'm whatever. It's fucking Carolina. Sorry, Sam.
One of the Carolinas.
One of the Carolinas. Yeah.
I don't know. They do the same shit. They sound the same. I mean, they probably don't. And we're pissing Sam off just by saying this.
Like, North Carolina. I'm sorry, Sam.
They're Carolinas.
The point is they if they lived within a half an hour and a half, whatever, if they were anywhere nearby, we would be hanging out. We'd be going to movies together. We'd be playing video games at each other's houses. We'd be going to fucking theme parks and doing all kinds of shit. But we can't because they don't live near us. So the only time we get to see these people is metaphorically online. So, you know, it's fucking awesome to be able to play games with everybody and to share an experience together and to joke around and have fun. And that's just, it's a good thing. You know, like since the fire, the only thing I've really had going on socially speaking is occasionally I have friends that have gone, you know, met up with me for like dinners and shit like that. Since the fire, they check up on me. But I haven't really, got out much because I've been saving money, you know, for a place of my own. And so, it's nice. The only thing I've had is the Thought Patrol family. I spend at least one day a week. One evening a week, usually more so jumping online or texting or whatever, but that Sunday night meeting is like a big thing. And so to be able to take that back to where it was before, where I can socialize with everybody and play games together and whatnot, that's just fantastic. So I'm going to keep an eye out anything that happens to drop on Switch. It's multiplayer, no matter how partially interested I am in it, because we just make stuff fun.
Yeah, a lot of that is, I mean, like, we are your friends. Now, to talk more about, like, just Dauntless as a whole, for those who don't know what it is, like he said, Monster Hunter Clone, it's very much more arcadey. It's got an MMO kind of feel to it, too, because, like, if you've only played, like, Monster Hunter World, which a lot of people have, a lot of people have only really touched Monster Hunter World, it was, like, it made the game huge. A lot of people have played the older games. It's not like Monster Hunter World. The Monster Hunter World's more open, more realistic. The fighting itself is... The
physics are more realistic.
Yeah, it's fighting itself is heavier. You're a heavier character. Your roles are heavier. Whereas this game, everything's kind of lighter and more arcadey.
It's hack and slash.
Yeah, it's more... It's kind of like the monsters... One thing I can say that's really just genuinely good is the design, or the art design and fight and combat design is really good and unique. And it's not like they're just ripping off 100% everything for Monster Hunter. Some of the weapons are look the same, but they play differently. It's not like, oh, hey, this hammer, just completely rip it off from Monster Hunter. No, they're making their own thing. That's why we say it's more of a clone. It may look like a ripoff, but they're genuinely doing their own thing, just using the same... The only thing that they've shared from Monster Hunter is the gameplay loop. The fact that you go out, hunt a monster, and turn its pieces into armor. Outside of that,
at one point in time was its own thing, and now it's a genre.
Yeah, and outside,
like, you had Tokwami or whatever, that Japanese mythology one.
Yeah. Outside of that, I mean, it's all completely fresh stuff. Like,
they're all their own thing.
There's more of a heavy focus on, like, ability usage. Like, you have a lantern that gives you different abilities that you can use that synergize with your current weapon. There's more of a heavy focus on numbers. A lot of things with Monster Hunter is they'd give you something and you'd really not genuinely know how effective it was or any percentages. This game gives you all the numbers. So if you're a numbers person and you like min-maxing and specializing into a certain play style, this game will assist you in every way into understanding what the fuck you're trying to do, right? So you have all your benefits, your bonuses. The game will be like, oh, hey, this lets you revive people faster and with more health. Or, hey, this gives you a 35% chance to resist stun or all that. That's how when I say it's more MMO-like. Outside of that, yeah, it's...
the more you play it, the more you get choices, too.
Yeah. Outside of that...
you start off, it's pretty limiting. But
fuck, that's three. Outside of that, yeah. The monetization's not bad either. It's all heavily cosmetic for the most part. If you don't want to spend any money, you can play the game from start to finish and do all the Monster Hunters. And there's a very slight free-to-play or pay-to-win element when it comes into the orbs that you acquire, which give you the benefit, like so there's like set piece bonuses kind of thing, where you can get abilities either from your gear or from these orbs, and you can help further distinguish what abilities you want. So it's same way Monster Hunter, like gear pieces will have perks to them, and those perks will give you special effects. It's the same thing, except they have also orb slots that you could assist these effects or add new effects to on top of it. I think Monster Hunter World has something along that lines as well.
You can buy credits to hatch them faster and things like that.
Yeah, you can also straight up buy them, but there's also a secondary currency where you can take apart cells you have and also buy them that way. That's why I say it's very slight. But outside of that, You can't straight up buy the armor from the monsters. You still have to go out and kill them. So, and it, even in this type of game, there's no multiplayer in a competitive aspect. You're always helping each other. Now they have like leaderboards and shit, but for the most part, you're not going to be fighting other people. So in that degree, I really like the same thing as you're saying with Warframe. Warframe's pay to win when you get into the multiplayer aspect, because you can just straight up buy primes and stuff like that, and they have legitimate benefits over the just normal things. Now you could farm them out yourself as well, but someone can just spend $100 and get a thing and have a huge power spike over you until you catch up. So, but that there's not a heavy focus on the PvP in that game. If it was entirely PvP, that'd be kind of bullshit. Same thing with this game.
Warframe does everything a la carte, which I like, and this game does too. It's a la carte. There's no loot crates or anything like that.
And they give a lot out for free. They have their own little battle pass thing. So over time, you'll acquire your own, you'll acquire the actual the money currency. Like, I think every pass gives you like close to $5 worth. So if you just play, you'll accrue enough money over time to even just straight up buy the pass, and then the pass will give you upgrades too. And I'm okay with battle passes. They're still not the best solution, because they heavily account for the fact that they're trying to keep players in game, and it's all FOMO, which is most like video game purchases. It's all FOMO, fear of missing out. And battle passes is that like that the essence of FOMO, like realized in a monetization method. The fact that you just have to keep playing, come and play every day for a few hours so you can get your ass to the final level and get everything you spent. Now the value is excellent. You'll get a bunch of shit if you do play often, but the hope of the game developers is that you don't play enough, so they get more value out of the money you're spending, kind of thing. But completely different conversation for a different time. But outside of that, the combat's fun. A lot of the weapons, and Sean's been exploring more than I have. I've only explored a few. Like, I've explored the gauntlets, the Aether Strikers is what they're called. The pistols I've been enjoying a lot. And the chain blades. But they're all unique, and they set themselves apart from Monster Hunter because they're just different. And, like, the gauntlets, out of all the ones I've tried, have been the most active. Like, they have the highest action per minute. You're basically... Real quick, just give you an idea of what like gameplay is. You're still fighting monsters. They have their own move sets and all this stuff, and they'll move around and run away and do their own shit. And this game actually gives you an idea of how much health they have left, which is nice. They actually have two stages in Monster Hunter. For the most part, they just enrage, or they'll have an enrage phase. In this, they have an enrage phase and an Aether charged phase. So in both phases, their move sets will alter slightly, and you can have them just be Aether charged, you could have them just be enraged, or you could have them have both, and that's when their full moveset unlocks, when they're both Aether charged and enraged. And at that point, since this game's faster, the devs realize that, and they make the monsters a lot faster. Because they can't get away with that in Monster Hunter, because you get caught out of your roles if the monsters are faster than what you're doing. So they have to kind of... Now, they're still fast, but they still have to kind of slow it down, because your character just naturally is slower and clunkier, closer to like a Dark Souls feel. Where in this game, it's more arcadey. You can roll very easily. For the most part, there's some things you get stuck in, but you can kind of cancel out of a lot of things if you dodge at the right time. But sometimes you'll get stuck in shit too.
You can't dodge when you're in the middle of a fucking combo, though.
It depends.
Like, at least the one that I'm using, is, like, there is no dodging when I get, because I guess my character's more momentum based when I use the pikes.
Yeah, the war pike.
So I've been using exclusively just till I get that maxed out. Then I'm going to go to the chain blades. And with that, you start swinging it, and then you end up moving in this like kinetic motion, and you'll travel in that direction. So if the thing dodges out of the way, you end up whiffing in the air for a while, and you literally have to wait until those animations play out before you can roll. Now, I can dodge roll in between, well, like the say the second set of animations to the third set of animations in the combo, but I can't do it until then. So I am constantly getting clipped by monsters because I'll be in the midst of like the second to third animation,
yeah,
in a fucking combo. And it's the only one that I know of that really has problems with that. Like, everyone else seems to be doing all right, but like I have to figure out how many times I can press that button and like figure out how deeply I'm going to commit to doing this attack.
Yeah, which in its way is a pro and a con, because you're more strategic in your fighting and you have to be kind of more aware of what the monster's doing. But there are classes that don't have that too, like the gun class I've been having is, it's interesting, you're ranged, but the idea to keep you close to the fight instead of just sitting in the background is for your character, you do more damage as you're empowered. Now, the way you empower is you need to reload, like, literally in the monster's face. You suck power from the monster to charge your guns. And in your empowered state, you do effectively, like, double the damage. You're just so much more effective. So you're staying not far, but mid-range. And what you do is you'll blow through your ammo, you'll use your abilities and stuff, and they have some mods you can get for the weapons that affect their playstyle slightly. Like, some will give you increased movement speed when you're like for the gun, increased movement speed when you're low on ammo, or if you use an ability, you get some bullets back. So they'll have like different things that change the playstyle. But I have to kind of be still next to the boss, and I can also like throw out buffs or do like mines, and there's like grenades you can get. Everyone can have grenades, but still, there's like a lot of small things that kind of help assist in you kind of creating one of the many play styles that they set out for each class, kind of finding the one that you enjoy the most. And they just it's not just there where a gun user will only always do one thing, or a warpike user will only always do one thing. There's kind of a few paths that they can set out in that will change how they approach a hunt, which is kind of cool. But like, going back to the gauntlets, because I think they're really fucking cool. So you have mantra, and you have ki or something, I think. Every you have three combos, and every combo will generate your it's like a might. I don't know. You have a 1-2-3 mantra basically. Every combo of the three that you have will generate one of these mantras. Now, depending on how many mantras you have stacked, you can consume them for an ability. So say you do a combo and you gain your first mantra. You can consume that one stacked mantra to get an attack speed bonus. So that's how you'll start. That's how you open. And then now you're faster for the rest of it. So the goal basically is you gain one stack of mantra from one of your combos, consume it for the buff. You gain then two stacks of mantra, consume it for the buff, which puts a dot on the monster. And what these two do is for your final hit, if you have both of your buffs up for the final hit, it makes the final hit do double damage. So your goal is you're building up through combat to this fat hit. One of the downsides for this, though, is if the monster moves around a lot and gets away from you, your mantras have a timer. So if you're out of combat for too long, you'll lose all of your mantras. So you're trying to maintain your uptime on the boss as much as you can, keep your buffs up as much as you can and work towards that final fat ass hit as often as you can. Now, you can, again, get mods. There's one mod I have that it increases the duration of the attack speed one, so it stays up for longer. And as long as those buffs are active, you don't have to keep reapplying them. So I'm at the point where if the boss is knocked over or I have time to fuck him up, fuck the monster up, I can get like 3 empowered of these like Kamehameha blasts you shoot out before my buffs run down. So you can just pump out damage. They're really strong, and I'm assuming they're one of the best for just straight DPS, because a lot of the people that do the high-end trials, which are like the time things, like the competitive aspect of the game, they're all using the gauntlets. So I'm assuming it's the highest DPS class in the game, but I think they just recently came out, so they're really strong to get people excited for them. They may nerf them to kind of bring them back down to the rest of the power level of the rest of the group. I don't know. But I've been enjoying the guns, and the gauntlets are still kind of my babies. But the guns are cool, too, because I like being a supportive character, and that's what they do. They hit hard, too. That's 5. I'm keeping track myself, because I'm fucking up. But it's just, it's a fun game, and I was not expecting it to be as deep as it was because of its free-to-play nature. I was just expecting to have some fun, kill some monsters that look cool, and get some cool gear. But there's been a lot of times where I was genuinely just having fun, feeling like I was playing Monster Hunter, and it was dope. They have like a lot of cool side shit that's outside of just hunting that you can do with the escalations and the trials and the patrols. They still end up coming back to just killing a monster, but you just do it in different ways. Like escalations are like a boss rush mode that you get modifiers, which is really cool. Something that Monster Hunter didn't do, at least from what I recall. I haven't played every game in the series, but it's just fun as fuck, and I'm willing to continue playing it, support it, and if any of you ever feel it's free, and you can play it on literally fucking anything, you can play it on Switch, play it on PS4, let us know. You just connect your Epic account to your account, and that allows all the crossplay, and then you're good. So, if you want to play with us, we'd love to hang out with you guys. But, I think, is there anything else? The actual monster design's nice, and the monster fights are unique. Like, there was one we were fighting this, like, fucking death coyote that literally, like, warps you to, like, this different dimension where he attacks you through these portals, and it feels like a raid almost, and you're like, this is a fight? This is cool as shit. There's this one disco...
The mechanics, they get fun. They get real fun.
Yeah, and it's not just, like, again, something, I think, because they have more creative liberty, because Monster Hunter World did go... They went for like this more kind of realistic vibe. So you didn't have a disco beetle monster kind of thing like you do in Dauntless, where they have much more creative freedom. So the gears look more uniquely different. But every time you kill some monster, you felt like you were taking parts of it apart to make like a leather piece. So you had some cool things, especially some of the later stuff. But, like, these are, like, just crazy. Some of the shit makes you look like a superhero. Like, there's just so many different things that makes you look like a fucking Russian spy. There's, like, just so many different things that coming out of this gear that just make it cool. It's just different, and it's nice. I don't know. I like it. Very arcadey approach. Their art team's really good. The design behind a lot of these armor pieces just has me coming back to see what's next kind of thing. And just level these things up and kind of build a fit for my character. And, but yeah, the combat from the monsters is cool too. So it's nice that it feels like you're going into almost a little mini raid. And it's got me very excited for the future of this game and what else they release. Because it's games as a service. They're going to constantly try and push out more monsters, more content. I don't know what their schedule is for drops. We literally only been playing it for a few days. And I think we've probably put, I don't know, like 20 hours in the last 3 days or some shit. Just going ham. It was pretty much 8 just yesterday when we streamed it. So we've been really enjoying it, and I'm excited to see what else they do with it. And it'd be something I'd always be willing to come back for if we do like get to the point where we have everything done and we just have to wait for content. I'd always be willing to like, oh, hey, Dauntless released an update. You guys want to hop on? It's like, hell yeah, let's go fucking do it. So that's dope. That's pretty much all I had to say. Anything else you want to add, Sean, before we move forward?
No, I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's good to get some of the practice in too. Like, because the thing about that Dauntless does well that Monster Hunter doesn't is Monster Hunter has a pretty steep learning curve at first. Like, it's pretty intimidating to approach. You know, like the monsters can kill you very easily. I mean, it does have that that high challenge factor where you really have to think your way through, know when to attack, learn their attack patterns, and you really do want to go in with friends sometimes because it can be quite challenging. And it you feel like you're in a living biome. There's a number of different creatures in there, and some of them you don't fuck with. Some of them are combative if you get near them, but they leave you alone. But then there's other like boss level monsters, which are the main ones that you fight, that go on their own paths and in different directions. So there's Monster Hunter World was a really good game, but it was just very intimidating to get into because Monster Hunter fans are fanatics. Like, I remember back when Monster Hunter was a niche thing, a very niche thing, and I used to play this MMO with some friends called Iruna Online, which was mainly a cell phone MMO. And I had a guild, and I played it for like 2 or 3 years, and we were all pretty tight together. But one of the guild members would warn everyone. He's like, "Hey, Monster Hunter's dropping for Vita. I'm going to be gone for like 6 months. Peace out." And I had friends that I would work with, or you know, gaming buddies who would just, when Monster Hunter release would drop, whether it was for Vita or DS or GameCube or what the fuck ever they came out on, they would vanish. And they love these games. And so when Monster Hunter World came out, fucking Kyle was pissing happy. Just like he could. He's like, "Oh, it's almost out. I can't wait. I can't wait." And finally I got involved and I was like, I saw this steelbook they were releasing. And it was fucking beautiful. And so I was like, "Fuck it, I'll do it." And I pre-ordered it to get the steelbook. And then fuck Best Buy, by the way. They gave my steelbook away to someone else who was the person in front of me in line. So when I went to get my steelbook, they didn't have any to give me because they decided they were going to give it to this girl because she had really, really nice boobs.
Oh,
even though she didn't have it pre-ordered. So fuck them. But long story short is I ended up with the game anyway. I just refused to buy it from Best Buy. So I went to GameStop and bought it and played it and had fun with it. But I just couldn't put the time into it because I was playing something else. This game does not have those initial drawbacks. It's not intimidating to get into. You don't. In the first several fights, it's never putting you up against something that you can't figure out with the basics of the combat. Like, I mean, just with any weapon, rolling and swinging, you can take out your first couple of targets pretty decently. You might die once or twice, but it's not like the mechanics are really deep. Like, it gradually brings the mechanics in. And by the time and it does it in a way that reminds me remarkably of platformer. If you ever play, and this is why I admire the way Dauntless is designed, by the way, that's my whole point behind the speech. If you ever play like Mega Man, or especially Mega Man X, the first level of Mega Man X presents you with all of the basic mechanics in a Mega Man game in a way that you naturally learn them without realizing you're being run through a tutorial. So, like, you can technically die in this level, but the way you interact, the way your jumping works, how it teaches you that you can wall jump, the whole nine is something that's done very organically. Yeah. So you learn the mechanics of the game in a way that is fun, that doesn't feel like you're being tutorialized. It's just, it's really, really well done, which is a problem that Mighty Number 9 just did not think of. Everything in a Mega Man level is custom designed to work around the mechanics of the game. So they know exactly how far your jumps can go. They know exactly where you're going to be landing when you come down from jumps. The enemy placement is very specific. So that you learn what you need to know in a level, and the levels are the right kind of challenging. They know exactly how you're going to behave in that level. And this game is designed that way. Like, I didn't realize that I was learning the mechanics of these different enemies until we finally hit one where it, like, the real deep mechanics had started, and I had already learned how to deal with everything it was throwing at me because of the previous fights I'd been doing throughout the first, like, say, 3-4 hours of the game. So it's not intimidating at all.
It's only
go ahead.
It's only been on the Switch since like December 10th, which is pretty crazy. I don't know. I thought it had been on for much longer. And it came out with Storm Chasers, which is the most recent expansion, and that involves the escalation. I was looking through the roadmap while you were talking. And they're also talking about, well, they're talking about mobile, but I don't give a fuck about that. They had one thing. Fuck, where was it? I forgot it because my brain is like at 30%. Where was it? Oh, Lord. So they're talking about like adding legendary weapons. And these weapons, which there's only one in the game right now, but these weapons will all have a unique, like, ultimate move that can only be used once per hunt. And that's something they're working on adding, and more behemoths, obviously, and all this other shit. So it's just really interesting. They're also working on renovating the town, the main town that we're in.
Oh, good, because it needs more. I hate hubs. I really do. I hate hubs that feel limiting. I've seen some hubs, like, I want them to feel like a Final Fantasy city feels. Like, if you ever played a Final Fantasy game, especially the three-dimensional ones, when you go into a city, it feels alive. It feels like there's tons of stuff going on, but you know you can't technically go in every house.
Yeah.
I've always wanted a city to be more interactive and to be more thorough and to be able to go into all the buildings. I wanted it to feel more realistic, but they never quite achieve that fact. And I've seen them do better with some games than others, but I want to, if there's a huge city, I want a huge city. And in MMOs, they sometimes do a really good job with that. This game does it like it's just very old school. Like, there's a couple of specific areas you go to and everything else is just eye candy. You can run around in some of it, but it's usually just to get these like little rings for your daily scavenger hunt thing. It's fucking retarded, but you know, it's there. But it's just, it's very just window dressing.
Very Monster Hunter. It's like, that's exactly what Monster Hunter is. A lot of it's like, just,
I would really like to see them make that a living, breathing part of the game. Make it a little more immersive. I think that'd be really nice. But what I was saying is, if you've ever stayed away from a Monster Hunter game, because that genre of game typically is very, it's got a big steep learning curve. It's very challenging to get into. And it's one of the games that gets easier the longer you play it, like a Dark Souls game or a Bloodborne game. So those types of games are harder when you start out than they are near the end, because you're just so much stronger. You're geared up. You've learned how to work your way around the game. This game isn't like that because it's more hack and slash. So it's got more in common with like Devil May Cry and God of War than it does Monster Hunter when it comes to the combat. But each weapon has its own set of physics and its own gameplay style. So the fun part is learning the weapons, especially the more difficult ones. It took me a while to figure out certain things about the pike that seems like real basic at first, but you can actually load three rounds into it and then how far up a meter goes. And it doesn't have a very accurate tutorial for that. It's kind of like playing an MMO in that way. When you're playing an MMO, they usually don't have the best set of instructions to explain how an ability works or how it synergizes with another ability and so on. So you spend some time online to figure that out. It's a little bit like that, but like, it's never so steep that you can't figure it out yourself. Like, out of everyone I know that plays online, I'm the latest to the game. I was the last person to start playing online. I started like 4 or 5 years ago because it was the first time I had internet on a regular basis. Up until then, I played with other people at their houses, but never on my own. So there's a lot of game mechanics that exist in online games that I'm not familiar with. So it can be a little intimidating at times. This game just isn't like that. It's just very easy to approach. If you played a hack and slash before, you're going to be able to be just fine. You can start off with the sword or the axe. Both of those are kind of hack and slash friendly. And you'll be just fine. And then just kind of move into the other games and acclimate. And the players in there, they're all super friendly. They'll talk to you. They'll give you hints. If you ever have any questions, ask us. We are perfectly willing to play with you. I don't have anything to do at night. 8 o'clock Eastern time is when I get off. So if anybody wants to play fucking Dauntless, if you can join up in our guild, and we'll go fucking kill some shit.
Yeah, dude. Exciting. All right. Anything else?
No.
All right. Outside.
If anybody else finds any other fucking multiplayer games on Switch, feel free to let us know here at Thought Patrol. All the contacts are below. Kyle will put it in there.
Yeah. I was also saying, like, Fortnite still. If we ever want to switch over to something that's more Horde like, I'd be down to play with you.
I can do the PvE.
Yeah. I wonder how that works on Switch. I remember Fortnite running okay when I downloaded it, and I was playing the Battle Royale mode. I don't know. All right. So, besides that, as always, there's always this amount of time I spend in Final Fantasy, right? So, I actually decided to pick up a new class because I didn't have a melee one that was maxed out. Instead of being a smart boy and picking one of the ones I had sitting at 70, I decided to start from the bottom and I picked up Monk. And Monk is fucking nutty, dude. Like, this class has to be one of the hardest melee-based, like, MMO classes I've ever fucking played, Sean. Like, it is insane. Not only is your action per minute, like, high as fuck, like, you're constantly doing shit at the higher levels, but they, like, I'm sure Nick has talked to you about it before, but literally, like, he said it perfectly. They take all the classes and put them together, Sean. So, not only do you have buffs that you keep up, debuffs that you keep up, like, a bunch of OGCDs and all that other shit. Actually, they're pretty heavily supportive, too. Like, you can give both a healing buff to your team and a attack buff to your team, which is kind of cool. But their whole shtees, dude, is they fucking... It's all directional, Sean. So, like, for a combo, a typical combo, which is, they're interesting because you first you'll put up your buffs in your opener, and then you'll have, like, a buff on you, and then a debuff on the enemy, so you're doing more damage, and they're taking dot over time, or just dot over time. But but through that, you start, like, so a typical one, you'd start, like, at the back, move to the flank, so it's, like, back, flank, back, and then you have flank, back, and then you're rotating between this on this big-ass boss, so you're basically hopping back and forth between this side and the back. And when you go to hit the button to do the next combo, you have to be at that point. And every time you do it properly, you're getting a 20% or 20 additional points of potency. So by the time you complete an entire combo, it's almost as if you hit them another time. So if you get good enough to know where you... It's basically timing and positioning. You have to know exactly where to be, exactly what time in your combo, and on top of that, you have to make sure all your buffs are constantly up, and they're only like 15-second buffs, so you'll do like one rotation, and then maybe another rotation, and then you're back to the rotation where you reapply buffs. Good thing is, you can keep your buffs on the same time frame for the most part, because you can apply both of your buffs in one rotation. Like, your combos will start and they branch out, kind of. A lot of the Final Fantasy combos do. But it's not like one solid rotation. You're constantly switching between like three that kind of flow into each other. But it's just an insanely involved class. And it's really cool. And the damage in it is fucking nutty. Like, you are slapping these fuckers like to left field. Like, you hit hard as shit. And it's just cool. I always like the class fantasy behind, like, oh yeah, this is a god that has destroyed the world or some shit. You know, Final Fantasy. I'm going to go up to it, and I'm going to fucking punch it. I'm going to punch it till it's fucking dead. And just that raw, like, big dick attitude is why I love those type of classes so much. Just the fact that I'm going to walk up to this god and clock him in the face. That is how I will approach this fight. That big dick attitude is what I hope to strive to be. At some point, like, that's cool as shit. So just that, and just the idea of that, and how you're going around punching. I made a really nice glamour for them, and yeah, although when Dauntless happened, I haven't touched it in a few days, so I always log in every once in a while, just go into the house to make sure it doesn't get fucking taken down. But it's cool, and the class design in that game has consistently been one of the best parts. Just like, it always feels like you're playing a completely new game when you pick up a new class. So, and that's one thing that they do excellently. So yeah, Final Fantasy is always good. That's just my little checkup there. No one gives a shit, but I'm just going to say, Monk's badass. They're fun as fuck, and I can't wait to get them to max to see how their rotations change. But besides that, my week's been good, and I'm ready to move on to the rest of this episode, because we're already 50 minutes in. Intro always gets us. It always gets us. But hey, Dauntless was worth talking about. Hopefully some of you guys can join us as we continue going through that game. We'd love to have you. It's 4-player max, basically. Fuck, I didn't mute myself. Well, it's okay. It's okay. That's 6, I think. But we're moving to housekeeping, Sean. We stream on Twitch. We actually had like an 8-hour one yesterday. If you ever want to hang out with the guys and just talk and chill and do whatever you want, this twitch.tv/thoughtpatrol. Again, all the ways to connecting with us that we will list here will be down below in the description, like Sean had said. Feel free to check out the Discord. Hang out with us over there. Talk to the community. Just chill. You'll get announcements. That's basically like the one-stop shop for Thought Patrol-related shit. Just stay in there. Like, if you want like everything kind of condensed, you want to talk to us, talk with the community, get announcements, any content we drop. Literally, that's like the Thought Patrol, like, base of operations is Discord. So hang out over there if you really want to kind of just get involved in the community. Outside of that, feel free to leave a comment wherever you're tuning in, what you thought about the episode. We'd love to hear from you guys. Feel free to subscribe while you're at it. Get us every week when we come out Tuesdays. Also, feel free to check out our Twitter at Thought Patrol PD. Check out the Facebook, Thought Patrol Podcast Facebook page. Feel free to hit us up on iTunes. Leave us a review, what you thought of the episode, how you think we can improve, where you think we're doing good. Just want to hear some just genuine feedback, how you think we can further tailor this show to the people tuning in. Also, feel free to check out our sister Facebook page, The Streaming Geek, for reviews to most streamable media, anything from Netflix to anime, anything you can go and pull up a stream for. There's stuff over there, discussion going on, people talking about what they thought of the stuff. Feel free to join conversation over there and hang out. It'd be great to hear from you guys, as always. So, again, links for all that will be below in the description. We're going to move on to the mailbag. I'm destroying my throat as I speak. But the mailbag comes in from Sam. So, Sam writes in. Wow, I read the first word and I'm kind of offended, Sam. He says, hey, retards, how you doing? Oh, okay, he's in character. Guess who's back? Your boy, the jock. I was let out of prison. Okay. He's back. I'm glad. He assaulted that Girl Scout and now we're hearing from him again. He's living a new life free of Girl Scouts. So, Oh, where was I? I was let out of prison for good behavior and I'm a much happier fellow. Here is my question for the week. I recently discovered an anime called Ghost Stories. How'd you do that in prison, Jock? You want to let us know? They got an anime in prison? If so, which one? I'm on my way. Fuck. I was almost in tears by the sheer absurdity of the voice actors. Oh, wait. Oh. It's not all that special except for the dubbed version. I was almost in tears by the sheer absurdity of voice actors and the amount of jokes in the show. It was almost like a fan dub or a bridge series, but it's totally 100% legit. The what dubs, the bridge series, or fan dubs are your favorites? Whether for comedic aspect or genuine quality of the dub, let me know. The nerd who is writing this narrative is taking another week to work on it. If he doesn't deliver next week, I'll pound him. Have a good week. I hope you pound him in the homoerotic sense. Send us a video. And then, as always, nerds. So, I mean, there are a lot of people who go for like quality. They'll go to like the typical shit. So like Full Metal has a good dub. Dragon Ball Z, many will argue the dub is actually better than the sub. A lot of it's what you grew up with, so Japanese would argue that it's whatever. Actually, the My Hero dub really isn't all that bad. There's some elements. I don't like the person they picked for Deku because he sounds like a baby back bitch, and I don't think the Japanese Deku voice actor sounds like a baby back bitch. He cries like a bitch, but I don't think his voice actor sounds like a bitch. But like the one that they got for him sounds like a little pussy boy, and I just don't like that. But like the dude that plays All Might is awesome. It's like Chris Sabat or something like that. But like the voice actors in the dub are pretty damn good. Attack on Titan has a decent one too. I just always prefer, because the Japanese, like, that's their industry, dude. It's built around that. So obviously they'll have better talent, because that's where everyone flows to when it comes to that kind of shit. So they obviously have the better voice actors, because there's just so much more money behind it over there than there is over here. Not saying that we don't have any good talent in the anime dubbing industry, but it's just so much better. Like, there's so much more impact, so much more emotion behind a lot of what goes on. But
the guys that do the dubbing, or the dub actors for the anime industry, are typically the same ones that work on video games.
Oh, interesting. I don't know what the fuck's going on, because there's like,
yeah, I've seen a lot of the same voice actors. Now, if they can't afford them, like, because when they start making it really big with video games, sometimes they cost too much. But I've seen a lot of crossover.
Yeah, But let's see. So for dubs, again, those are like some of the average ones. Like Dragon Ball Z is always huge for a lot of people. Something a lot of people grew up with, and it's a good dub. It sounds good. So, I'm not really big into abridged series. I've watched a few, but I haven't really like looked into a lot of them. I know they have a lot of fan dubs in that regard, like joke ones, the abridged ones, like the Dragon Ball Z abridged. There's an SAO abridged and all that other stuff. I've seen a lot of the Gigguk videos that he'll do, where it'll be like a show in 5 minutes and they'll dub through that, and those are pretty cool. But you really got me. I don't fucking know. Like, I don't really partake in the dub lifestyle that often. Mm-hmm. You have any, Sean?
I like the way Vegeta's actor did him for a long time.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, bro. Like,
I didn't think anything else particularly fantastic about Dragon Ball, but I did grow up with the dub voices on it, and that's just when I think Dragon Ball, I think of them speaking English. It's the only anime that I do that with.
Yeah, you don't hear an old lady when you hear Goku, but like the Japanese grew up with that. That's just how it is. I think that a lot of the Saiyan transformations are genuinely good. Like those people are screaming their hearts out, and God bless them. I think the dude behind Goku, I don't know if it's true or not, it might be a rumor, but he like pulled a hernia doing one of the Saiyan transformations because he screamed too hard. Like, God bless that man, because he put his soul into making that dub. And they sound good. Super Saiyan 3, the first Super Saiyan transformation, all those are all fucking clean. Like, and they're like really impactful moments because this man is screaming his heart out on top of the music kicking, especially Super Saiyan 3, man. Music kicking and That's a special ass moment. It's good. It's just good. It's good anime. Most the rest of Dragon Ball, we could talk, but like some of the transformations are cool. But outside of that, like I've seen part of the abridged Dragon Ball Z. They had a Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged that was pretty good. The original Yu-Gi-Oh! I remember watching that when I was younger. The abridged, not the actual show, but. Yeah, this question stumps me.
Joey's fucking voice actor was so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Yugs. Yo, Yugs.
Yeah, I'm 35. Supposed to be a high schooler. Oh, man. Yeah, that show was fucking weird, dude. Look at the Japanese. We have this kid, right? And his hair...
Could've got better.
His hair would impale you if he tripped, right? And so, listen. Artifact. Upside down pyramid. Turns him into an adult. What do we think? Sign this man up. Give him another tablet of LSD. That's all I got to say. Get him on more shows. But, like, it's just crazy. But, again, look at the Japanese. They have some creative minds. Probably what happens when you're kind of sanctioned away from the rest of the planet on an island alone. They think up some interesting stuff. Tentacle hentai was one of them. Just the byproduct. So, yeah. That one we'll accept, though. We'll take that one, Japan. We'll take the tentacle hentai. But kid turned into adult because of an Egyptian artifact, you've gone too far. I really can't think of anything else, to be honest with you, Sam. We appreciate the narratives, as always. He was actually on... I wonder if he'll ever do... If we'll get like a cinematic crossover between these two narratives, the one he's writing for the other podcast and this one. I'm assuming he has a plan eventually at one point. I'm interested to hear more of Bojang and his fleshlight friend. Okay, Sam, hear me out. If his fleshlight friend is not a provincial character in the crossover to the other world, and she is not referred to as a fleshlight at any point, I will be genuinely disappointed. I'm having you know. No pressure. Take your time. Write your shit. But if she goes to the other side... She's in the other world, and she's like a helper of Bojang, and he does not refer to her as a fleshlight at all in that other show on the other podcast. I'm gonna feel some type of way. I'm just having you know. So do that for me. I'd appreciate it. Just once. You don't have to keep up the joke. Drop it once. I'll be happy, and you can leave it be. And we're good. So now that that's out of the way. We appreciate the question, though. You got anything else, Sean, before we move on?
No.
Yeah.
I just don't like dubs at all. I'm one of those people who's like, there's this one that I really think was good. Like, I'm sure there's probably something somewhere.
It's one of those things where if it gets someone into anime, great. I'm glad it exists.
Oh,
it's
you know
just
what?
Not
the
my
other
preference.
One that I watched that I never watched, I didn't grow up watching initially in Japanese, was Sailor Moon.
Oh, okay.
And I think they did a pretty decent job, all things considered. I mean, you gotta look at anime in the 80s and 90s was the Wild West. Like, they didn't really... I mean, it didn't make a ton of money. It was only used to serve up secondhand stories to kids. Usually, Carl Masick, the guy who kind of pioneered making anime a regular household thing for kids, edited the shit out of them to make them more acceptable.
Yeah. Well, fucking 4Kids TV did that shit a lot, too, man. They massacred.
Yeah, but Masick started it. Yeah. He was the one. And you got to think, like, it's easy to be angry at him for butchering the shows the way he did. But on the other hand,
I mean, he spread the influence. Yeah.
Yeah. If he hadn't, anime wouldn't be where it is today. Like, Robotech, Voltron, you know, all of these things that are household names are the reason why Dragon Ball made it over the way it did. Like, it was him. But he also brought over, like, Tokyo Megalopolis, which was kind of a horror. And it wasn't all that great. Like, I don't expect anybody to go out there and watch it. Like, I remember it was supposed to be this real big deal when it was released because, like, oh, my God, there's nudity and it's a horror film, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this is coming from a guy who's seen Urotsuki Doji, which is, like, the most insane of the hentai horror that's ever been created, and it's probably the only hentai horror that I would tell somebody who's a horror fan to try watching to see if they can stomach it, because it was never, the hentai was never used as a method of porn. It was used to make you feel unsettled.
I saw a titty on Toonami.
This was gross. Like, wow. People being fucked to death kind of shit. Like, your
titties
penis going into somebody and then exploding them and absorbing them. It was intense. But that was... Tokyo Megalopolis was not anywhere near that level. So when I finally saw it, it was more anticlimactic than anything else.
Yeah.
But again, Masick brought it over. He, you know, chewed up a lot of it, changed a lot of it. Same that you did with Robotech.
That's not.
And for a long time, he was like the enemy because I didn't like when I found out all the changes he made to my favorite shows. But then when you think about it, it was, you know, if he hadn't done that, like you said, you know, he's
it wouldn't be
legend.
Your favorite show. Yeah, right. That's not cum. That's mayonnaise. They're
so those are two things or three things: Robotech, Sailor Moon, and Dragon Ball that are a big deal to me. And those are things that I only knew great by that effect.
Well,
by English.
Yeah, definitely.
Sorry, I just had a whole bunch of shit fall all over me.
You're good. All right.
It was awesome. Makes me very happy.
Nice. So, well, again, we appreciate the question, Sam. Let us know Let us know your answers, if you guys have any. Something that you grew up with as a kid. I mean, some people, again, like Pokemon, some other shit like that. Pokemon dub wasn't fucking awful, but it wasn't great either, so. But, yeah. That's about, I had the same, I'd just rather watch it in Japanese, the way it was originally intended. It's like, I mean, it's not exactly like this, but it's like you go listen to a song that was made in another country, you don't like, you don't listen to it in English, there's not an option to do so, but like you listen to what it was originally intended to be, because that's what the creators wanted it.
I just noticed that the vocal emphasis and the attitudes, like when I first started trying to get into subtitles, it wasn't easy because I reading and watching is not something I had learned to do. And over time, practice, you actually learn to see absolutely everything that's happening on screen and also read. You're just looking at, you learn to look at the screen a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Is all.
What you do is your eyes, your left one watches the show. And your right one goes down while the left one stays center and it watches
like,
the subtitles.
Like that, but yeah, not like that at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And so like what I would do is I would watch the American show with the subtitles on. So I'd watch the dub with the subtitles. And if the translation matched the subtitle sufficiently enough to where nothing was lost, because sometimes they have to change wording here and there to fit mouth movements. If nothing was lost, then I'd watch it dubbed, and if the meanings were drastically different, then I would watch the subtitle and just kind of suffer through it. And over time, I just started appreciating the subtitles more. And then I didn't have to fucking hear it, because there's this one voice actor that I fucking wish would stop. I wish he would quit. I hate him so fucking much. Everything he does is awful. Everything he does is awful. He was the voice actor for that one anime I hate that everyone loved the book so much. The one with the jail, the jail, and the psychic superpowers.
White bitch. Kids, entire classrooms kill. He's blamed for the murder. I know. What the fuck is it called? Dead Man Wonderland.
Yeah, Dead Man Wonderland. Like, wow. Being able to watch subtitles totally freed me from having to suffer from ever hearing this voice actor
and
again,
because
I truly hate him.
I was going to say something, I forgot entirely. I just like, they're just better, like objectively better at what they're doing. You might not be able to understand what they're saying, you just read it, but just like, again, like you're saying, the emotion's just better. Like, they go the lengths to make it feel like you, I just feel like it's more immersive that way.
Greg Ayers, A-Y-R-E-S. Greg Ayers.
He's the name drop.
Worst
the
voice
man.
Actor. He is the worst voice actor on the planet. Like, he is so fucking bad. All he does is squeal. It's so bad.
Oh, dude, he might play Deku. No, just play.
I think he did Natsu for the first season, which was immediately, like, I watched one episode and I was like, nope, and went fucking over to the to the subtitles, and then just never went back, because Greg Ayers is Satan.
Okay. Well, didn't have to name drop the man. He has a family. A rabid.
Yeah, well, I feel sorry for his family.
A rabid 3.5 fans are going to go fuck him up now that you said it, dude. They're going to dox him. Shit, we're not responsible.
Good.
Don't do that.
Yeah, fuck him up.
No, stop.
I'm advising you to go and fuck a stranger up because I told you to.
Sean, stop. Got to be on the same side here. It's no,
oh,
it's
wait,
not good to bad.
No, don't do that. Wink, wink.
Fuck you.
No, I love fucking subtitles. I like hearing the original enunciation, like the way the statement was supposed to be heard, and hearing the original people who were given these roles to see how they interpreted those roles.
Yeah.
It's just more interesting to me.
All right. Well, appreciate the question, Sam, as always. If you guys want to send us a question, feel free. Please, we'd love the content. We'd love to hear from you guys. Discord, Twitter, Facebook, email, all below. Send us a question. Whatever the fuck. You're sitting on the toilet one day and you think of a revelation, a God-given gift comes to mind about whether or not we wipe our ass with dry or wet wipes or something like that. Send us a question. We'll fucking answer it. We just want to hear from you guys. We'd love to, practically no filters here. So anything that comes to mind and you want to ask,
I love how you
extend that hand.
That.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Some things. Stuff that's not no bueno or just, but for the most part, yeah, we'll just say what's on our minds. We're not policing any thoughts here. We're the thought patrol. We patrol the thoughts, right? We don't police them. We patrol them and we dive deep sexually. Sorry.
Oh yeah, lots of sexual diving.
Okay, where am I? Figuratively and literally. All right. I don't know. I'm pondering where I am at life right now. A good spot though.
That's a dangerous thing to do.
Yeah, dude, we're good. Don't worry about it. So we're not reading porno today. We'll bring it back next week. I know everyone's no porno. Uh-huh. But it's okay. We will learn more about... man, fucking... That shit's crazy. Sonic High School. But, got people transferring each other's bodies, turning into their kids. I don't know what the fuck's going on. But that kid was on some kind of shit. His parents probably beat him or something. I don't know. But, we're gonna go ahead and talk about our main topic before we wrap up the show. So, as I said earlier, 2020 seems to be, like, the year of the delay. a lot of things have been pushed back as it's interesting because there's been kind of a collective pushback against the idea of crunching. And for people that don't know what crunching is in regards to game development, a lot of the time when you get to like the final stages of game development, like right before games go gold and are ready to be printed on discs, there is a crunch phase where you have long hours, absolutely not worked to death. It's not Japan, but like just worked crazy hours. So game devs need to finish their project by a time day. And so what the companies will do is have them work their asses off to make sure it's finished by that day. Whatever doesn't get finished in this day and age gets patched in later. That's why a lot of times you see day one patches come, because they'll go gold, realize there's still some issues with the build of the game, and they'll put it into a patch that'll get pushed out when it goes live. That should remedy the rest of the issues that come to be with the build. And then if they have any other further issues, they'll have smaller either hot fixes or smaller updates that will kind of address the rest of that as time goes on and just fix the builds. So we've seen a lot with games journalists, especially Jason Schreier, with his whole unveil with Anthem, and then he did the... I think he was the one that brought up everything with Red Dead 2 as well. Actually, no, I think they were dumb and just came out and straight said it. Oh yeah, I think they were dumb and they just come out and straight said it, that they were like... They had people working crazy hours.
Voluntarily working crazy
like
hours.
120-hour weeks or some shit like that or something along those lines. And
it's not that it happening once in a while is a bad thing, but it's been happening all the time.
Yeah. And
like
there's,
when it's a regular business method, like just so you all know, the last 20, 2 months, you're going to be working 70 hours. Like, that's kind of insane.
Yeah. And just the thing is, better. If you've ever... A lot of times when it comes to if you're working in like project management as a job and you're doing things with other people that isn't necessarily making a game, but you're working on maybe setting up a contract or doing, I don't know what the fuck people do in the professional world. I'm a dumb kid, but there's crunch outside of video game development. It's not something that's innate to video game development. A lot of, you could see a student crunch. It's called fucking, oh, I'm gonna die. Wait. Hello? Okay. It's called fucking.
Regular thing.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not, I'm just saying that it, just because it exists doesn't mean it's good. I'm just saying that You'll see it in other aspects of your life. When kids need to study for exam, they'll cram. That's the form of crunching. You're trying to make sure you get everything ready for the due date, and you work your ass off, slam back a fucking Adderall, and beat Halo 3 on Legendary in 2 hours, and then do your homework, dude. Because you're just an absolute menace on Adderall. I feel like you're making love to your homework. But this is something that we've seen pushback for, as there have been more stories that have come out talking about crunch. So a lot of people are kind of, when it comes to these delays. So for the delays, Cyberpunk's been delayed to September. It's originally coming out in April, so it's a few month delay. Final Fantasy VII has been delayed to April, which is like a 2 month delay. The other Square Enix project, the Avengers game, has been delayed. I don't know if it's been delayed out of 2020, but it's been delayed. I'm pretty sure it was like scheduled for late 2020, so it probably has been pushed out of 2020. So we've seen a lot of games being pushed back. A lot of people, and there's been a lot of talks coming about, mainly Cyberpunk, because it's already been pushed back a few times. I don't know how many times in total, but Cyberpunk's been pushed back a few times already. And people are starting to wonder, like, hey, what's going on? Now, like Project Red has come out themselves and said that they're just trying to, again, further polish the game, making sure it's a good experience. Some people have come out and thought, okay, they're having issues getting the games to work on, like, base consoles. Because if you think about it, the Xbox One is a very weak console. Like, a lot of times it can't even make 1080p. They're sitting in, like, 720 or 9-something for their games, because it's such a weak fucking console. It's really weak. Now, when these devs make these fucking games, they have to account for everything within this range for their development. So every system has a different build with little modifiers to affect how, to just to let it fucking run. So people have came out and said, oh, hey, mate, it's possible that they're just having issues getting a game of this scope, this this size and caliber to run on 7-year-old tech. And they think that's the reason it's being pushed back, to help further polish those versions of the game. Other people just think, well, see, they came out and straight up said that they're just trying to polish the game. Other people just think that, hey, they're just working on making it good. And a lot of people, from what I've seen online, are okay with delays. Like, a lot of people rather have a game delayed a bunch of times and be excellent when it comes out than be dropped Anthem style and just be an absolute fucking mess. So people are okay with delays. There's nothing wrong with a delay, especially if it does make the final product better. It's just interesting that even after this delay with Cyberpunk, they have also come out to say that there will still be crunch with it. So it'll be an interesting thing as we can, again, continue move into this new decade, seeing what these, because it's interesting, because a lot of times we say plan better, but it's not a simple task to make a video game. There's a lot of people working in tandem, a lot of different, there's a different sections of the game development area. So like, you'll have like your art team, you'll have your more heavy coding programming team, you'll have like other teams, hear me out, okay, I'll have other teams, and they're all working in tandem with each other to make sure that this product is all packaged together nicely for the people that will eventually play the game. So you're not just dealing with the fact that you're making something huge, you're dealing with other people, you're dealing with if you do have a publisher, you're dealing with them constantly pressuring you to get out on a certain date so they can make back what, so investors can make back whatever money that's been poured into this project. There's so many elements at play, so many people working in tandem to get this finished product out to the masses, that there's always, I feel like it's going to be very interesting seeing what they do to combat crunch, because there's been such a huge push back against crunch and crunch culture. I don't know in what way they'd have to, I'm trying to think, like, they'd have to make release dates non-existent to remove crunch. Like, and I can't imagine a video game culture where those don't exist. Then how do you generate hype for your game? Because they'd have to make it where the release date is so loosely defined that these people can work at their own pace without being crunched to a day. Because if you're always working towards a deadline, there's always a problem that will sprout up at some point, and you'll always have some form of crunch. Now, they'll definitely not be as bad. Just because the word crunch is there doesn't mean these people are being worked to death. It's just that they are working worse hours than typical. And a lot of devs, they're working on something they love. They don't really care. They don't really mind for the crunch. It's when it gets into the extreme areas, like Anthem. You got people crying and shit like that, that just don't know what to fucking do because they're stuck in this little hellhole trying to make this game that has no vision whatsoever. But just because crunch exists doesn't always mean that these people are, their health is at risk. For these talented individuals working on these products, it's just that it'd be very interesting to see if there is a further pushback to crunch culture and game developers crunching. I can't see any other realistic answer to it outside of making release dates either completely non-existent or maybe expanding them. So it's not a single day, but maybe a month, and just leaving it at that month. So instead of them having a day to get something done by, they have this entire month for this game to drop. But then again, you could still generate hype that way, because they'll have a general idea, but it's not.
Yeah, but stores need to function. They don't function for last minute shit. Like,
yeah, like they need to have that product in advance.
With having crunch time, you just can't have it be abusive. You know, like when there's a new piece of software dropping, when something new is happening. Even at my work, we have times when we need people on the phones and we just don't have the manpower for it, so we have voluntary overtime. But you're compensating for that overtime with extra pay, and it's not, you're not forcing people to work that overtime, but sometimes a company needs you, and when they need you, you work the time. It's just they can't be abusive about it. And if you have people where it's a regular thing that there's like a toxic culture at your business because of how they're running that kind of shit, then something's wrong. I don't know if it's as bad as they made it out to be. I don't know what the scenario is there, but I know that that you know, that you can't have people contemplating fucking suicide and shit because they're being forced to work so much, or they're being, you can't treat someone toxically. Yeah. And I think that's more important than the crunch time. Like, I don't really have a problem with overtime or even manual overtime, really, as long as it's used sparingly and rare and only in emergencies. And if you're in an industry where you know that's coming near the end of the game and you're opting to work on that game, I don't think that that's a bad thing. I don't think that the company's doing anything wrong. Yeah. They just can't mistreat you.
Yeah, or maybe even having it, and I don't know, again, the hierarchy or how these companies are established, like how they have like project leads and shit like that. Maybe having something along the lines of what you're saying, where maybe there's a group of freelancers. I don't even know, because even that sounds crazy. But having a group of people that, hey, we're moving into crunch. So everyone is limited. Everyone at minimum will work their typical hours, but we're not forcing any of you to stay to crunch. But if we can, or maybe like a confirmation for crunch time, like, oh, hey, we're going to move into crunch, so we're going to be rallying people to assist in crunch. You'll get overtime. You'll get your benefits. We'll have amenities here to help you guys out while you're doing your crunch time. Just, again, treating people like people, not just tools. But so we're going to take a poll. How many people are willing to crunch here? And if we get enough where we think we can make it by this time frame, we will initiate like this crunch. And then instead of having... Because they always say, a lot of things that people say is like, oh, hey, this game's gone gold. It's done, baby. It's getting printed, bitches, kind of thing. Maybe they'll have more things like that where they'll come out and be, hey, guys, we're moving into crunch. So you have an idea still that the game is nearing the final processes. And again, there's just a negative connotation with crunch in general, just from the light we've seen it in. And that it also can take a change of perspective from the community looking at this, that it's not always the worst thing. Like, as long as these people are being cared for. Like, if they do show, hey, we have amenities, we'll have areas for these people to kind of chill. They're not going to be crazy blasting out their asses to get this game done. But maybe announcing a crunch time. Hey, we're moving to crunch. We're able to gather this many people that will be willing to do it. They'll be doing overtime. There were some that had families to attend to, so they won't be doing it, and they'll just be working their typical hours. And that'd be kind of cool. Again, just giving the people the option, where they're not forcing people to crunch. I don't know if there's companies out there that currently do this. If there are, let us know. We're as we always do, we're just spitting out our ass. So
I've worked with several places that did like voluntary overtime when it was important and shit like that. I don't see why
a video game company couldn't. And even then, even for like manpower, it'd be interesting for, because there's a lot of people that freelance do stuff. But again, that'd be kind of weird, like pulling someone in so late on a project. It'd be interesting, but even for like just additional manpower, like, oh, hey, I need this problem solved or something. There'll be like a group of freelancers they can call in that will assist in like lower level tasks, just to kind of take some of the weight off of the main team that is moving into crunch time. So just having more preparation, like you're saying, planning better, instead of just accepting that we're just going to push everyone into crunch. It will crunch, and then when it's done, it'll be out, kind of thing. Having more...
Well, I have a friend of mine that has done a fair bit of work with... he's worked for EA, Tiburon, you know, the sports development and whatnot. He worked on the Lord of the Rings games that were released on GameCube and PS2 when he was real young, when he first started. And he was always contracted. Like, everything he did was contract work. Like, he never was full-time for any of them.
Yeah, from what I've heard, a lot of video game development is contract work. You'll sign a contract with a company, you'll work for them for this project, and then after that, depending on how it went, sometimes you can secure a spot in the company as one of their main team, or you'll go back out and then go back to freelancing and find another contract with a different company. I've heard a lot of that, too. And then you can move up, maybe become like a director. And then if your name's large enough, you can establish some kind of foothold somewhere. But I've heard a lot of that too, where a lot of people will come in, they'll be contracted for a project, and when it's done, they'll just leave. And then they'll get their pay and then fuck off, kind of thing.
Yeah, they do that to a lesser extent in Japan. In Japan, when you go to work for a business, it's like the whole idea is you're going to work there for... It's going to be a life thing. It isn't until... the last, like, say, 20 to 40 years, where it's slowly been changing into, you know, jumping around, working here, then working there, then working here. That's why in a lot of anime, you see characters in these dead-end jobs, and they don't leave. Because it's just a mentality that you take a job, and it's kind of like our America used to be that way.
Yeah.
In the 40s and 50s, if you started working at a gas station, you know, your goal was to stay there until,
Make a name for yourself in that company, or whatever.
Yeah, like that kind of thing. Like, that was a common practice, was to pick one place and just kind of work out from there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's ever been the only mindset, but that's definitely, that was definitely a common one. I've heard a lot of old people, okay, boomer, you know, fucking talk about that kind of shit. I want to know what the fuck that means. It doesn't make any sense.
It's a meme. And every it has nothing to do with actual baby boomers. It's just the idea that if you're older and you share a different mindset than the person, it's just something they throw out, like, okay, boomer kind of thing. It's so retarded.
Bro,
every time I say it, Google pops up and they're like, what do you want to search? I'm like, no, telling someone to fuck off because they're 2 years older than me.
Hey, boomer. Yeah, no, my Google doesn't do shit.
I don't know. Maybe it's the way I say it. My Google
Home just fucking ignores me.
Oh.
Hey, Google. What do you think about the meme, okay, boomer?
Sorry. I don't know how to help with
that. Yeah, Google doesn't know how to help with that.
She's confused.
Okay, good. Well, just leave her as the fart machine. Don't do anything else. Just let her do her thing.
I don't want to tax her too much, you know.
Yeah. Well, you got a limit to your daily farts. But yeah. Again, as much as we've seen a pushback to crunch, a lot of people think that if a game is delayed, it's like, okay, yeah, they won't have to crunch anymore. That's not necessarily the case. There'll always be some form of crunch. It's just understanding that crunch in and of itself is not bad. It's when crunch is taken to an extreme, like most things in life. Some things in and of themselves are not bad if they exist. It's when they are abused that they become a problem. So just understanding that the word itself does not spell death for the company or the people behind it. It's just the fact they're going to have to work a little bit harder to make sure that it gets out on the day. And a lot of companies have come out and said there will almost always be crunch. Project Red's pretty open about their hours that their staff works and stuff like that. And even then they've come out, yes, they said, like, to some degree, yeah, we'll have it. But at this final stage, it's just something that happened. It's a part of how they go about, and they'd have to make some serious changes to the way video games come out to kind of completely remove this issue. And it'd be interesting to hear from, like, a indie developer that isn't, like, as heavily pressured, how they deal with crunch, if they do at all. Come out and talk about it, because they'll release, like, release dates, but a lot of the times they'll just drop out of nowhere, especially more of the passion projects. They'll just happen. They won't be announced because they don't have the marketing or the funds to market it or anything like that. I wonder how they deal with stuff like that, if they even still go through a crunch period, because they're not going under as much pressure. So
anybody with a deadline has crunch.
Yeah,
I know where the term comes from.
But
is
that's
from,
what I'm saying. Because
newspaper industry.
Yeah, but like indie
newspaper.
If an indie guy hasn't marketed his game, he's just working on it in his free time, or he has a group of friends working on his free time, I don't necessarily know how they would approach something like that if they don't have a date to meet. It's just do it till it's done kind of thing.
But indie games are usually worked over thoroughly before they even are considered being released to market. It's more like you make a recipe, and then you practice that recipe, and you practice cooking it until it's perfect, and then you go into your restaurant and you test the recipe out with everybody in the restaurant and see how they like it, and then you're like, all right, it's really well. All right, let's go ahead and put this online and let people make it themselves.
Yeah,
you know, like indie games don't have. I mean, they can. Like, you can do that. Like, sometimes if you announce that the game's going to be released before it's finished, you've just given yourself a due date.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they
AAA do. Has investor backing. People don't seem to understand. They seem to think, oh, big bad, you know, publishing company, or the big bad developing company. But you have investors. Like, if you're publicly traded, you no longer just answer to yourself.
Yeah,
you are getting fed a stream of money from other parties who are expecting and hoping to make money off of your idea, your product.
Yeah,
and you've promised them that they're going to receive money in a certain way at a certain time, et cetera, et cetera. So you now have these greater responsibilities. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just one of many ways of doing business.
Yeah. And there's a lot of businesses outside of video games that operate in that same manner. It's just they're not, the products that they're creating a lot of the time aren't these huge, like huge amounts of labor that they have to put into making something like this.
You also have to talk about our community. You know, our community is very reactionary. You
most
know,
are.
Like we see something, we get upset without thinking about it.
That's not even gaming, and, though. Like, most people
that's
on...
That's life now.
Yeah, yeah. That's just one of the byproducts of social media and the fact that there is so much news in your face that you can't properly fact-check right out the gate without having to do some extra work. So that it's kind of just one of the byproducts is this cancel/outrage culture is because with the sensationalist kind of approach that media takes to get clicks and get stuff like that, you've kind of built this group of people that are so reactionary that it's just they see something, they're like, share, fuck them, end the world, burn them down kind of thing without even ever looking into what's actually going on because it's just thrown in front of them and they're designed to get a reaction like that out of you. That's the whole idea of sensationalist media. So it's just a byproduct of the way that news is handled. It's always been handled that way. Newspapers did it. Magazines do it. Tabloids do it. It's been that way before the internet was ever even created. That's just how
the
news...
problem with the internet is you're putting it in front of that many faces faster.
It's just
you know, you're bringing your story. You know, you do a movie about law enforcement, or you release a story about a young kid killed by law, unarmed kid killed by a cop, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe that's true. You know, maybe something really bad did happen and that guy needs to be brought to justice. Or maybe they didn't have the entire story and now you've got cops getting shot in like rural Arkansas for no fucking reason because somebody put a story out and it went viral. And I believe that you should be upset and you should be outraged if somebody has abused their authority and done something horrible, or if a company has abused its employees or any of that kind of stuff. That is absolutely a thing that we should be concerned about. But I don't think that we should start pitching a fit and causing problems and I don't think we should start causing harm to anything until we know exactly what happened.
Also, stop associating titles with behavior. Like you don't see China come out and announce that something bad happens. They released a chemical warfare agent into another country. You don't go into China and go killing the civilians because of what their government did. Same reason you don't go around killing cops because one cop of a title that was a cop was corrupt.
Or boycotting a software firm. Or because of an instance that happened at one of their locations. Like, first, see what their reaction is. What are they doing about it?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I am the first person to use, you know, overpowered verbiage when something has come up, you know, and
they know
to overreact to things.
They know.
Like, you guys know this. Like, I am an emotional reactor, but I will take time to think about something before I sit there and decide that my relationship with that is over or something extreme has to be done. And I you're allowed to have your reactions. You're allowed to go crazy. But, you know, I just think that especially in this day and age when people are aggressively being abusive to one another over and feeling justified for doing it, yeah, you know, when they're reacting to something, I think it's very, very important to take the time to actually see what all the facts are first. That's all.
Yeah.
And then it's no different with this cancel culture thing, with this with the crunch time. Like, all these companies lost, took a significant amount of damage from this crunch time stuff. And how much of it was accurate and how much of it wasn't justified? And do we honestly know how they were treating people? Like, that's something that's important. That's why I think before you start, you know, banding together to bring someone down or to not have anything to do with something, just make sure you know what the facts are first. And I think the most important part about all of it is it keeps discussions going. Like, there are companies that are abusive to their employees.
Like, out of everything, it's great that we're actually talking about it. That crunch is in the minds of people where before it wasn't even a thought. But now with the way that it's been brought to light in the media, that more people are aware of it. It's just the idea that a lot of people's perception of it, because the news that did spread was bad news, has been warped. So again, like you're saying, take the time to fully understand what it entails, and that the fact that it's not always like just bad in nature. There can be good cases and bad cases of it if it's abused. So yeah, you're 100% right.
I think overall it's probably been beneficial, because you got some companies that maybe weren't doing everything they had to, or weren't doing everything they should have been for their employees, during crunch time. Then this becomes a big thing, and they're like, shit, well, we don't want bad PR. Let's go ahead and reassess our situation, make sure we're doing what we should be doing. So maybe it's gotten better. I mean, I haven't checked with Chad in a while, but it's just funny. His name's fucking Chad. It kills me. Yeah. I keep asking him if he's going out with a girl named Becky. Shut up, dude. But to be fair, you know, it's Chadwick, not Chad.
Well, I'm glad
he was actually named Chadwick by his horrible parents.
Yeah, I know, right? Imagine being a kid. Because
nobody wants a fucking name Chadwick.
Imagine being that. That sounds like a fucking Pokemon, dude. Chadwick.
Yeah, yeah. So he's not, I don't know if being a Chadwick, if that prevents you from being a true Chad or not.
No, you're always a true Chad, as long as someone refers to you as Chad. Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Well, he's fucked then.
Well, I'm still excited to get my hands on all these games. Interesting, because of all this, it spread them out. So now because before everything was within a few weeks of each other, I was kind of scared. But now, hey. It's kind of free reign. I might actually pick up Final Fantasy VII now, and since Cyberpunk's much later in the year and stuff like that, so hey, it's good for us, kind of, because now they're more spaced. So kind of cool. But yeah, let us know what you guys think of crunch. What you know of crunch? If you know someone that works in the industry and how their experiences with crunch and stuff like that. We only know what the news tells us. So, but and what some ways you guys think that we can help to further eliminate crunch, or if you think it's just okay to have and exist as long as they don't abuse it. Let us know. Again, Discord, Twitter, Facebook, hang out with us and give us your ideas, and just love to further that conversation to you guys. Anything else before we wrap it up, Sean?
No, I'm done with that shit.
Yeah, dude. Well, I'm excited to get into these games. We're gonna go fucking watch anime that Sunday night. Maybe make sexy cutie kissy noises to each other as it happens. But we gotta catch up with My Hero, dude. Gonna be hype.
Yes, we do.
But we appreciate everyone for tuning in, hanging out with us for the last hour and a half. Again, let us know what you guys think. What do you think about the episode? What do you think about the topics? Join the Discord, hang out with the community. Just, we'd love to hear from you. Sean, before we go,
hugs and kisses and all your pink parts.
I said that. The moment I started the sentence, my stomach dropped, and I realized I did not have a fact available.
You never have a fact available. Listen, I feel like I should have your facts available for you.
I should just put them in the doc, dude. Just copy and paste them all into the doc, so all I gotta do is scroll down. But then it'd be like a 150-page document. So
I still have to work on that one thing we put in the doc about the... do a whole podcast on... the deconstructions.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, again, thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. Thank you for hanging out with me, Sean. Although, we're going to go and hang out some more. Yeah. All right. But before we go, I shall leave all of you with a thought. In Bangladesh, kids as young as 15 can be jailed for cheating on their finals.